Okay, today's daf is daf kaf. We're going to start at Yud Tet Amud Bet at the Mishnah. Just as a preview, we're going to get into a very famous sugya of Zeneh Nevezel O Chaser. Like if somebody benefits and somebody else doesn't lose out, then you know, does he have to pay or not? Okay, let's start with the Mishnah. Ketzad Hashem Ued Lechol Tara Oila. Okay, Ketzad Hashem Mu'edet. When is Shein Mu'edet? Okay, this is just parallels the Mishnah that we saw before about the Regel. Le'chol Tara Oila, okay, to eat what it's supposed to be eating. So then it's Mu'ad if it's eating typical things. We've seen that line many times. Ha'behema Mu'edet Le'chol Perot V'Yirakot. So the Behema is Mu'edet to eat Perot and Yirakot. Achlak Suto Kili Mishalem Chatzi Nezek. Remember we had this whole question. What's the second line different from the first? So now the Behema, what kind of case would a Behema be Mu'edet, right? We said last time, why does it say two lines? The first one's a Chaya and the second one's a Behema. So it's Mu'edet to eat Perot V'Yirakot. If it ate Sut O Kelim, which it's not typical to eat clothing or... I was reading a book to my daughter last night about Charlie Needs a Cloak. I don't know if you know that book, a famous Tommy DePaulo book. So it's all about the sheep eat his cloak, you know, and then he spends the whole season making his new cloak and right away the sheep are eating it. So... But apparently, it's not as typical for animals to eat clothing or vessels. Mishalem chatzi nezek. Okay, so therefore, you're only chayav half damages because, again, this is a typical case of it would be karen, right? It's mishunet. Strange. Bamei dvarim amurim birashut hanizak, aval birashut harabim patur. So in which case is this referring to? Now, the question in the Gemara is going to obviously be, what are we talking about here? The perot and yirakot or also the ksut and the kelim? Okay, so when are you chayav in these cases? We'll see which ones exactly. If you're in the Rishut HaNizak, but Rishut HaRabim, you're going to be patur. We've learned this also, right? We're already getting to things that we know. That's Shein V'Regel or Patur B'Rishut HaRabim. V'im Nehenet Mishalem Et Masha Nehenet. And now what happens if, on the one hand, you're not chayav because Shein V'Rishut HaRabim, you're patur. However, if he ate stuff and benefited from it. What does it mean he benefited? Let's say it was mealtime and he ate someone's fruits and now the owner doesn't need to feed him lunch, okay, or his next meal, whatever it might be. If that's the case, then what do we say? The owner has to reimburse whoever's fruits it was, even though Mikaradini is patur from the fact that the animal ate the food because the guy shouldn't have left his food there. But now that the owner, and this is where we're going to get to, Zenehenet, okay, the whole thing. Since he's benefiting from it, okay, therefore he has to pay what the animal ate. Okay, we're going to see exactly what kind of value does he have to pay. Let's say the animal ate very expensive food and he would have fed him cheaper food. You know, in other words, what amount do we have to value the amount? So now they're going to say, Ketzad mishalem et masha nehenet, achla mitoch harechava, mishalem et masha nehenet. So now if he eats from the main drag, right, the street, then he has to mishalem at what he benefited. Mitzidei harechava, mishalem at mashi zika. But if it was from the sides of the rechava, okay, meaning, okay, think about the cargo, okay, there's this main drag. So if he eats from the middle, then again, he's patur from nezek, but he's high of whatever now he saved himself that he would have not had to pay, that he wouldn't have had to lay out money. But Sidei Rechava means like on the sides. Now on the sides of Rishut HaRabim, where it's not the main thoroughfare, but there's kind of these niches and stuff, areas, so that area is called Rishut HaYachid. And therefore, if somebody has their stuff on the side, then you're chayav for damages. Now we're going to have another distinction. Mipetach HaChanut. Now in front of the store, what happens? Store owners, right, think of the shuk. Store owners put all their stuff in front of their store. So that's considered, they put it out Rishut HaRabim, and they know that they're a little bit taking a risk. So mishalem et mashenenet. So then only you're going to have to pay the hana'ah. But mitoch hachanut, if it's inside the store, then mishalem et mashizika, that's already considered Rishut HaYachid. Okay, so those are just two distinctions. What within Rishut HaRabim can be considered Rishut HaYachid, in which case you'd be responsible to pay just the hana'ah, but not the nezek. And that's obviously assuming that there was hana'ah. If the animal had eaten already and wasn't at mealtime and had finished eating and then ate and didn't save the owner any money, then the owner's not responsible. Okay? Unless it's a place where you have to pay damages in the chanut or tzidei rechava. Yeah.
Maybe I missed it, but what are damages other than the value of what the animal ate, which is the same thing as the...
So that's what... Let's say the animal eats 10 apples, okay? Now, if you would have fed the animal, okay, 2 stalks of hay, let's say, okay? So now, what do you have to pay? You have to pay the value of the stalks of hay you would have eaten, not the 10 apples. Well, let's say you would have eaten 2 apples. So you have to pay the 2 apples, but you don't have to pay all 10 apples. That's the difference between damages and what he benefits. So then the value is benefit. What?
Not peripheral. I was thinking damages are...
No, damages are how much he ate. No, damages means how much he ate. Okay, because again, if he knocks over things in his pseudo kelim, then he pays chatzi nezek, and then it's already karen, and then you might be responsible for that. In other words, again, depending on
as well
whether we say the whole line that Rishud Arvin Patur is the whole thing or not on the pseudo kelim, we have to get into that.
If you would,
we'll get into more details.
2 stalks of hay, it explains why I'd be hungry enough to eat 10 apples.
Right. So, so I'm just saying randomly, but we're going to talk about, again, we haven't seen it yet in the Gemara. We're going to see it exactly. How do we value it? Do we value it at hay? Do we value it at, you know, the least, okay, the least possible thing you could have eaten? Or do we value it at what a normal animal eats? Okay, so again, it gets into that. But again, it might be different from whatever the animal actually did eat. Okay, it's only how much it saved the owner from not having to spend of his own money to feed this animal. Tana Rabbanan. So now we're going to get into a whole bunch of different things about, okay, the sheet we're not up to yet. The sheet's only going to be when we get to the second half of the daf. We're going to get into a whole bunch of different things about shame, okay, different issues. Tana Rabbanan, Hashem ued lechol et ha'ra'oila, ketzad, behema shenichnesa lechatzar nizak v'achla, ochlina ruuyin la, v'shatita mashkina ruuyin la, mishalem nezek shalem, right? So if an animal goes in, and it starts eating, goes into your field, and it starts eating typical foods, drinking typical drinks, then you pay full damages. V'chein chaya, so now not only a behema, here we see it explicitly where it says behema and chaya, whereas that's how we explained our Mishnah, but our Mishnah didn't say it. Notice, by the way, the chaya appears second, and our Mishnah was first. That was the whole thing because it came midrasha. V'chein chaya shenichnesa lechatzar nizak, v'tarfa behema v'achla basar mishalem nezek shalem. So a chaya comes in, he kills another animal, eats the meat, also full damages, because that's typical for an animal to do. Upara she'achla se'orin, v'chamor she'achal karshinim, v'kelev she'likeket ha'shemim, v'chazir she'achal chatecha shel basar, mishalmim nezek shalem. What's the unique about all these things? It's not typical. It's not their typical foods. However, if they had nothing else to eat, they would eat it. So since it's atypical food, but it's something they might potentially eat if they had nothing else to eat, therefore, they're chayav full damages. Amar Papa, hashcha de amar kol midi de lav orchev achlale al yedei adchak shmei achila. So Rav Papa comes from this bright and he says, well, now that we said that anything that the animal eats that's not typical, but they would eat it al yedei adchak if they were stuck, shmei achila, it's called achila still. So hay shunra de achle tmare v'chamra de achle benita mishalem nezek shalem. So now we're going to have 2 examples. So he's going to say now, then obviously I'll add 2 more to the list. Okay, if a cat eats dates, and if chamor eats, I think this is meat, right? Oh, it's fish, right? He eats fish. Then he pays nezek shalem. I skipped a line. Ha'u chamor da'achal nahama upalse lesala. Here's another example. The chamor eats bread, and then the bread was in a basket, and he bites the basket and destroys the basket. Chai ve'Rav Yehuda l'shalem nezek shalem. Anahama. So Rav Yehuda said, on the bread, he has to pay nezek shalem. Va'asala, but on the sal, chatzi nezek. So now they say, va'amai. Kevan d'orche l'mechal nahama, orche nami l'paluse sala. Since it's typical for him to eat the bread, and the bread's in the basket, well, it's very likely he's going to bite this basket also, and it should be kedarko. So what are the answer? No, it must be a case that was only mechayev chatzi nezek on the sal because it was a case to acha bahadra palis. Okay, they're saying it must have been a case where he first ate the bread and later he went and ate the basket. Okay, but if he did it at the same time, it would all be nezek shalem because that would be kedarko. So now they want to question not the issue about the sal. They've resolved that issue. Now they want to question this issue of the pot. Upat orchehu. Is it really a typical thing for a donkey to eat bread? Or minhu? We have a source that seems to contradict the Tanaitic source. Achla pat ubasar v'tavshil mishalem chatzi nezek. Okay, so if it eats, now we don't know what the subject of this sentence is. Okay, who eats? But right now the source says if it eats bread and meat and something cooked, then your chayav only half damages. So my lab bebehema, is this not a behema, in which case the chamor would be included? They say, lo bechaya. So now they say, if it's about a chaya, though, it doesn't make any sense, because didn't, first of all, we just said it, the chayot eat animals, and now we're going to say, right, chaya goes into your field and eats your, kills your animal and eats it. It's chaya. So now they say, because it was said not just bread, it's a bread and basar and tafshil. So chaya, basar, or chayhu? So what are the answer? Ah, dimitve, it's a case of roasted meat. They don't generally eat meat when it's roasted. Okay, that's one answer. Ibait ema bitvia. Some people say it's actually talking about a tzvi. Okay, a unique type of chaya. One type of chaya that doesn't eat meat. Or ibait ema lolam bebehema. Maybe it really is talking about a behema. But what's the issue with the meat? Ubiptora. It's talking about meat at a table. Okay, it would be atypical for the animal to come sit down by the table and eat meat. Okay, and that was the why it was unique. Okay, each one is just trying to come up with some way why basar would be atypical. So now they're showing that there's some ways that basar could be atypical. Okay, another case. Here we get to the case I mentioned yesterday. Hahu barcha dechaza lifta. There was a goat that saw a lefet, is a turnip. Oh, yeah. Okay, on a puma didana, on the cover of a chavit, a barrel. Sarich salik achla lifta v'tabri ledana. So he jumps up on it, and what does he do? He eats the turnip, and he breaks the chavit. Chive Rava alifta ve'adana nezek shalem. So Rava said he's chayev both on the lefet and on the chavit nezek shalem. My taima kevan d'orche lemecha lifta orche nami l'sruche ilu masalik. This is very much like the chavit case. If it's the sal case, the basket. If the bread's in the basket, then we can assume he's going to eat the basket too. So if we put food on top of a chavit, we can assume that the goat's going to jump up on it and might break the chavit also. So therefore it's kedarko, and therefore it's nezek shalem. My taima kevan d'orche. Okay. Amar ilfa. Now we have a new halacha. Behema b'rishut harabim. So now we're going to come up with cases where an animal is in Rishit HaRabim and yet he's chayav. So the Mishnah had it where that there's, you know, the chanut in Rishit HaRabim, where that's already Rishit HaNizak, or the tzidei Rishit HaRabim. Now we're going to see he's actually walking on the main drag, and we're going to actually make him chayav. What's the case? Behema b'Rishit HaRabim u'pashtat tzavara v'achla me'al gabei chavirta chayavet. Okay, he goes and puts his, like, leans his neck up and eats from off the top of another animal. So he's chayev. My taima, gabe chaverta kechatzer nizakta. Let's say the guy had, a chamor was carrying a basket of food for someone, and the animal goes in and takes the food from there. So that's already considered someone else's property. If you've ever gone to, Gibraltar, the top and the rock of Gibraltar, so there's monkeys that go around there, and they all say, cover your stuff, put it all away, make sure everything's in sealed packages and zippered up, because otherwise the monkeys come and take all your stuff. Like, it's just known. So that's, you know, the point is if they go into your property, you're walking in Rishit HaRabim, but it's in your bag, it's in your, right? So those cases, we're going to say that that's considered, he took it from Chatzar and Izak, and you're Chayav. So now, what do they say? Gabe chaverta kechatzer nizak dami. What's on you while you're in Rishit HaRabim is like chatzer nizak. Lema meseale. Let's try to say that this source offers a support for this. Haitaku pato. In other words, remember, Ilfa said this, and now Ilfa's an Amora. We're going to take a source, a Tanaitic source that maybe supports it. Haitaku pato mufshelet lachorav. Okay, if his stuff was put behind him, like almost you can imagine a knapsack on somebody's shoulders, let's say. Upashtat savarava achlami menu, right? And then comes the animal and he sticks his neck out and eats. Chayevet. Okay, so here it sounds like the exact same thing. Should be chayev. So now they say no. This source is not necessarily a good proof because this source, kedamarava, Rava said about something else, which we'll see in a minute, that it's bikofetzet. That it's only if the animal jumps up. So maybe here, hachanami, he would say the same thing, that the source is talking about bekofetzet. If the animal is just walking and eats from your thing, then he's not chayav. But if he jumps up and, like, jumps up to some either fire spot or, you know, in doing so, he does something atypical by jumping to get the food, then you'd be chayav. But not if it was regular behavior, in which case, this source doesn't support ilfa. So now we want to know, v'hecha itmar derav. It's very interesting. Sometimes the Gemara says, just like you said somewhere else, there, hachanami here. And sometimes the Gemara will say, well, what were you talking about? Where did he say it? And sometimes it won't. So here they ask, so where did he say this? Ahad amar Rabbi Yoshaya, behema b'rishut harabim, hachav achla p'tuha. Amdav achla chayevet. So Rabbi Yoshaya said, if a behema in Rishut HaRabim was walking at eight, it's p'tuha, because it's Rishut HaRabim. But if he was standing at eight, he'd be patur. So then, I'm sorry, he'd be chayav if he was standing at eight. So in other words, while he's walking and eating, he's patur. While he's standing and eating, in Rishut HaRabim, he's chayav. So they ask the question, Maishna halcha to orchehu, amdanami orchehu. In other words, why is halcha and eating patur? Because it's typical, right? It's expected. So also, amdava achla should be also typical. An animal standing in Rishut HaRabim should be typical, an orche, and therefore he should be patur. So Amarava, their Rava answers, why is he not patur? Because it's bikofetzet. It must be that amda means he was standing and he jumped. And that was atypical behavior, and therefore we're going to make him chayav in Rishut HaRabim. Okay? By Rabbi Zeira. Now we're going to get into mitgalgel. What if something rolls? Mahu. So now we want to know, what are we talking about? What rolled? How did it roll? Etc. Hechidami. Kigon, in other words, what was his question about when he asked about mitgalgel? Kigon dekaima amir b'rishut hayachid, v'kamet galgel ba'ate mirishut hayachid l'rishut HaRabim mai. If you have this bundle in Rishut HaYachid, and then the animal kicks it into Rishut HaRabim, so what's going to be the halach? So Tashma, let's learn it from here. Titane Rabbi Chia brought a braita. Masui miktzato bifnim umiktzato bachutz. If you have this bundle, and part of it's bifnim, and part of it's bachutz, obviously bifnim is going to be Rishut HaYachid, bachutz is going to be Rishut HaRabim. Achla bifnim chayevet, achla bachutz p'tura. So now they have to figure out what does this mean. So the first assumption is that we're going to have three understandings, if I remember correctly, about what this means. So first they think that this means, right, bifnim and bachutz is my lav mitgalgel va'ate. In other words, it meant it got rolled from one to the other. In other words, they don't assume that there was something that's half in one place and half in the other. It must mean it was half in one and it got moved to the other, you know, rolled over into the other. In which case, it would depend on where you ate. And the question here, really, just to make it clear, the question is, do we make you chayav based on the place where it started, or do we make you chayav based on the place where it rolled to? So now they're going to say, well, from here, you would assume what? That we're talking about that it rolled to some other place, and therefore you're going to be chayav in the place where it got eaten. If it rolled into Rishut HaYachid, well then you're patur. And if you're chayav. And if it rolled into Rishut HaRabim, you're going to be patur. So that's the first assumption of how they read this source. Okay, that miktzato bifnim, miktzato bachutz, achla bifnim chayevet, achla bachutz p'tura. In other words, it all goes based on where you ate it. So meaning, it wasn't, let's say you had it in Rishut HaYachid, and then it moved into Rishut HaRabim. So now, if the animal ate it in Rishut HaRabim, it's going to be patur. Even though it started in Rishut HaYachid. Now, who moved it? An animal moved it, right? That's the assumption. An animal moved it, yeah.
So it doesn't matter whose Yachid it is, because it went from one person's went across the road to the next person?
No, it went from one person's Yachid to the Rabim, Rishut HaRabim. Because the whole question is, Rabim is going to be Patur. Because we said... So if it was in Rishut HaRabim and it rolls into Rishut HaYachid, then you're right. So then the question is going to be, did it roll into the Rishut of the person whose stuff it was? Right, because it would have to be, it's in his own property. You have to assume that that was the case.
This is the case where it starts half and half. And the question is on what part...
Well, it's unclear exactly if it started half and half. And this, I think in this reading, it started in one and moved to the other. Uh-huh. That's the way it sounds like to me, they're reading it.
Okay?
So that's what they think, in which case we're going to say it goes by the achila and not by where it started. So now we're going to say, sorry, my tashma, my lam is galgav ate. So then they're going to say, lo, ema achla masha bifnim chayevet, amasha bachut p'tura. In other words, what we're talking about here now is that what it goes based on Masha haya bifnim. In other words, what was bifnim originally, he's going to be chayaban. And what was bachut, in other words, now we're going to say, you could read it the exact opposite meaning. You could read this either which way. You could read this, that masha bifnim chayav could either mean what eventually rolled bifnim and he ate bifnim, or it could mean what started bifnim. This source doesn't go in either direction, and we can't learn from it. Okay? So it could mean based on where it started. So now they say ibai de'ema, or you could also say another reason why we can't learn from here. In other words, one reason why we can't learn from here is because you could read this source either which way. Another reason is maybe this source is talking about something else entirely. Kika amar Rabbi Chiya, maybe what Rabbi Chiya was referring to in this case that he brought, this braita, was biptila das fasta, like a very large stalk. That's partly in one rishut. Now we get to what Aviva was saying before. Maybe it's partly, it belongs in shtei rishuyot, right? The stalk starts in one rishut and leans over to the other. Now what happens when the animal starts to eat it? He pulls it more into the rishut that he's in. And then maybe it goes by the rishut he's in at that point because he's pulling the majority of it, almost like it goes by rove, or by, you know, that most of it's now going to be there. And maybe it has nothing to do with a typical case of something that rolled, you know, in which case it doesn't answer our question at all. Okay, achlaksut. Now we get to this line about achlaksut, and remember I told you already in the Mishnah, that it says, achlaksut okelim chatzi nezek, right? And before that it said, if you eat peirot, then you're chayav nezek shalem. But now, v'med yibarim amurim b'rushut hanizak, av'a b'rushut harabim patur. So now the Gemara is going to ask, ahaya, and which is it referring to? So amarav akulhu. Rav says it's referring to everything. Okay, that even in the case of suto kelim, you're only chayab bereshit anizak, but bereshit arvim you're patur. My taima, why are you going to be patur? Because he says kol ha-mishaneh uba achir v'shinabo patur. Anyone who does something out of the ordinary and then someone else does something out of the ordinary, you're going to be patur. Now, what's out of the ordinary here? Well, obviously, the ksuto kelim of the animal eating it is out of the ordinary. But what did we say before? Well, if it's out of the ordinary, everything that's mishune, what do we call it? It's keren. And keren should be chayav in rishut harabim. So why are we going to patur him here? Because there were two things that were done out of the ordinary. Number one is this keren. That's really the second thing, that the animal ate the ksuto kelim. But the first thing that was out of the ordinary was that the person put ksuto kelim in rishut harabim. It's atypical for a person to leave his clothes in the middle of the street, right? That's not typical, right? Generally, if we see clothes in the middle of the street, somebody left them. They're hefker. People don't generally put down their stuff in the middle of Rishut Arabim. So that, now go to this line again. What does he say? Kol ha-mishaneh, the person who originally left his stuff there did something out of the ordinary. So now if ba'achir mishinabo, and somebody else now does something out of the ordinary, and the animal comes in an atypical manner and eats it, well, he's also patur, okay? Because he didn't start it, right? It's almost like, who started it? You shouldn't have left your clothes in the middle of Rosh Hashanah. That was atypical, so it's true my animal ate them and was doing something atypical, in which case it should be carried, in which case it should be chayv and Rosh Hashanah. But in this case, since the first guy did something out of the ordinary that he shouldn't have done, therefore, we're not going to make the second guy responsible. Okay, this is what I talked about originally, which we're going to get into particularly with Adam Ua Le'olam. It's all about when there's two sides, in other words, who's more responsible than the other. There's a lot of this playing back and forth throughout the Masechet about who's responsible when each person did something, you know, not so right. Ushmuel amar, lo shanu ela peirot v'yirakot. Shmuel has a different approach. He says, no, that line was only about the peirot v'yirakot. Aval ksut v'kelim chayevet, and that's because it's Karen, and therefore you'd be chayev and rishut arbi. V'chein amar Rish Lakish akulhu. Okay, so now we're going back to the first opinion. Rish Lakish agreed with Rav and said, it's on everything. Va'az de Rish Lakish latame, de amar Rish Lakish, shtei parot b'rishut harabim. Now he's going to give a different example of this, kol ha-shinabo. Okay? So there were two parot b'rishut harabim, two cows, echad revutza ve'echad mehalechet. One was crouched down, which is atypical behavior, and one was walking, which is typical behavior. Ba'atam mehalechet b'revutza. If the one who is walking does something atypical and kicks the atypical animal that's sitting crouched down there, ptura, he's ptura. Okay, why is he ptura? Because, right, the owner is ptur, because he was doing something atypical, but to someone who was doing something atypical. Rivutza b'mahalechet chayevet. But the one who is crouched kicks the one who is regular walking. Well, then the owner's chayav, because the rivutza did an act that was keren, rishut arabim, right? And the animal that was mahalechet was doing his typical thing. I actually had a thought here of, you know, sometimes when things are out of order, it, like certain people can't handle things being out of order and it makes them react. You know, it could be that the animals are reacting to something that they think is inappropriate, right? It's not typical. They're used to dealing with things that are typical manner, okay? I'm just thinking, you know, if you think of special needs people, sometimes they like things, you know, I think of my daughter's like that. She likes things exactly the way they're supposed to be. And when something's atypical, it throws off her behavior. So I was thinking about that when I read this, that animal sees this animal crouched down and is like kicking him, you know, get up, like, what are you doing crouched down? It throws him off. So it could be sort of an animal instinct, and therefore we can't make him responsible for that. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, lo shanu ela peropi yirakot, apatsut v'chelim chayev. So now Rabbi Yochanan goes and supports Shmuel Shita, which is the perot, right, ksud and kelim, you're going to be chayev because it's typical Karen, and there's nothing of this kol ha mishaneh u'bachir v'shinabo. He doesn't hold by that. So now they're going to say, is it true? Lema Rabbi Yochanan lately to Rish Lakish? He doesn't agree with Rish Lakish. He doesn't agree with what Rish Lakish said about these two parot. So now they're going to say, well, maybe yes. Maybe there's a distinction between the two parot case and the ksud and kelim. Maybe he would agree with Rish Lakish and yet agree with Shmuel. And why would that be? Afilu b'shte parot lo. Sorry. Would lema Rabbi lately to Rish Lakish afilu b'shte parot? Okay, would he disagree with him even in the Shtei Paro case? So now they say, no, it's not true. Lo. Lo olam de'it leksut. Lo olam eat leksut av de'inish de'manche glime umetapche. Aval behema lav orcha. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan distinguished between levels. Well, we said on the one case, well, on the one hand, it's not typical to leave your ksut or kelim in reshut arabim, and it's atypical for the animal to be revutza. Maybe he would distinguish. How atypical is it? So in the para revutza case, he might agree with Rish Lakish that it's very atypical, and therefore, he's not responsible. But in the case of the ksudo kelim, what does he say here? Sometimes, avde inche deman chiglimei umetapche. Sometimes people take a rest for a minute, and they take off their jacket, and they put it down in Rishon Arabim. It does happen sometimes. So therefore, since it happens sometimes, it's not as atypical. So we're going to have gradations, right? Like, let's say, 10% atypical, we're going to say it's still considered... You know, it's not considered atypical enough to say this kol ha-mishaneh u'ba'achir v'shinah bo patur, and therefore we're going to be mechayev on Karen if the animal eats it. But when it comes to the parah revutza and he gets kicked, well, that already is really atypical, and that one we're going to say that you're patur. Okay, now we're going to get to the im nehenek mishalemet. So we talked about how much you have to pay. If your animal eats and gets hana'an, this is going to lead us into the zeh nehenek v'zeh lo chaser. Okay, we're going to see from here. We're going to jump into that. So, Bekama, how much do you have to pay? If your animal eats those 10 apples, right? How much do you have to pay for it? Rabba Amar Deme Amir. Okay, Rabba says it's like how much you would pay for a stack of hay. Okay, in other words, how much hay you would have fed that animal, meaning the cheapest, right? We're going to go with, you can assume, you could say, well, I would have fed my animal the cheapest thing I could have fed him. Obviously, you have to come up with an amount. Maybe my amount of two stalks was maybe too little, but, you know, maybe I was more thinking actually of two bundles, but, you know, let's say something like that. Okay? Demei Amir. Rava Amar Demei Se'orim Bezol. He says, no, we have to assume that you're giving your animal something like Se'orim, barley, okay, something more serious than just straw. But it's bizol. What does it mean? We evaluate the amount of seorim at the cheapest rate, okay? And they even say that, right, I think it's, some of them are fresh, I just want to see if Rashi says it. Right, Rashi says even at the end that you pay two-thirds of the amount that you would buy it for in the shuk. In other words, even cheaper than the going rate in the shuk, okay? Because you could say, well, you know, I wouldn't have had to buy it. I could have had it in my property. Okay, and therefore, it's like two-thirds the lowest shuk price that there is. Tanya kavate de Rabba, Tanya kavate de Rabba. Okay, each of them, we're going to have a brighter to support them. Tanya kavate de Rabba, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Ein meshalemet ela demei amir bofat. So that's explicit, right? Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says demei amir. So now we say that Rabba lines up with Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Tanya kavate de Rabba, Im nehenet meshalemet mashe nehenet. Ketzad, so how do you do this? Achla kavo kabayim, right? That's a certain amount, a measurement. Ein omrim tishalem dimehem. You don't have to say, you have to pay exactly what he ate, those 10 apples. Ela omdim kama adam rotze la'achil lebehemto davar hara'oila. Af al pi she'eino ragil. Lefichach achlach itim o davar hara'lo p'tura. So now we say, we try to figure out, we assess how much somebody would have given his animal something that's ra'oila. Ra'oila already is something a little better, right? It's something that's appropriate for him. Even if it's something that he doesn't generally eat. So you evaluate it based on what a typical food for an animal would be, which would be, you know, line up with the se'orim. But now they say if you fed it chitim or something that's bad for the animal, these are things the animal doesn't eat, okay? They eat apparently barley, but they don't eat chita, okay, the wheat. If it's bad for him, so if the animal ate something bad for him, then you're patur. Then you don't have to pay at all. Okay, if the animal ate something that's not good for the animal's body, then you don't have to pay. Amale Rav Chista le Rami Bar Chama. Okay, here we start now with our big sugya. Rav Chista goes to Rami Bar Chama and he says, Lo havit gabam b'orta b'tchuma. You weren't with us. Orta means night. Okay, we saw this Orla Arbasar b'kimet hachametz, right? The night of. They say it Lashon Sagi Nahor. They don't want to say night because it's, you know, darkness, because it's a bad word. You know, it has negative connotations. So they say, it's called Sagi Nahor. They say Orta. So you weren't with us at night, b'tchuma, in the tchum. Most people explain the tchum means you weren't with us in the Beit Midrash when this discussion came about. Okay? D'bailan, what happened in the Beit Midrash yesterday at night? They asked a question. Mile malyata. They asked a big deal question. Amar, my mile malyata. What was the big deal, right? It's like someone said, oh, you didn't show up yesterday in the Beit Midrash. You missed a whole big sugya. You know, oh, what was the sugya? Right, you missed out yesterday. What? Okay. Amarle, hadar b'chatzar chaviro shalomi da'ato. If you go live in somebody's chatzar without him knowing, okay, you go, you're walking around, you see this empty area, and you say, I'm going to live here. And it happens to belong to someone, right? You didn't tell the person. They didn't know that you were living there. So, right, you find, let's say, an empty house, and you start living in the house. Okay? Turns out the house belongs to someone. They didn't know that you were living there. Sarich la'alo lo sacharo ein sarich. Now the assumption is if he knew you were living there and he didn't say, come pay me rent, well then you don't have to pay him rent because you didn't ask for it. But if he finds out later that you were living there for a month and didn't pay him rent and he says, hey, you were living in my house, pay me rent. Now obviously the guy wasn't renting out the house to anybody else and he wasn't living in the house and he didn't need the house for anything because he didn't even go visit the house for a whole month, right? He obviously didn't need the house. So you might say, well, it wasn't any loss of money for you, the fact that I was sitting in your house, so why should I have to pay you? So that's the big debate here. Okay? Hey, chidami. So now we want to know what type of chatzer are we talking about? And what kind of person are we talking about? Okay? We're going to have a bunch of different issues here. Ilema b'chatzar delo kaima le'igra, v'gavra delo avid le'megar. If you're talking about a chatzer that generally doesn't get rented out, it's a property the person never rents out. And the person who lived in that house doesn't generally rent out a place. Maybe he's got his own house, and he just happened to be living here for whatever strange reason. Okay? So therefore, what do you say? Zeh lo nehaneh v'zeh lo chaser. Nobody got benefit because he had another house to live in. He didn't need to live there. And the other guy wasn't losing anything because he wasn't losing rent that he could have potentially rented out to someone else. So therefore, it's not even a question. Ella bechatzir dekaima leigra. Let's say it's a chatzir that you do generally rent out. Vigavar de avid lemegar, and it's a person who generally rents. You know, he needed a place to rent. So zenehenev v'zeh chatzir. Then it's a case of this one's benefiting because he's getting free rent instead of having to pay rent. And the other guy, you know, let's say his lease was just up. Right, he was paying rent. His lease was just up, and now he moves into this empty lot. And then, but the other guy generally rents it out. So he's chaser because he generally, now it could be he couldn't find a renter, but still now that he found, since it's generally something that's on the market and he's been trying to rent it out and this guy lives there, well then it's a loss for him. So they say, so it can't be that case they were asking about because in the first case, right, obviously he wouldn't have to pay because zenehenev is a lo nehenev is a lo chaser. And in the second case, zenehenev is a chaser, so obviously he would have to pay. So lo tzricha, what must be the case they're referring to? Bechatzir de lo kaima leigra, it's a chatzir that generally wasn't getting rented out. Vigavra de avid lemegar, but the person, his lease was just up, right? He had just been renting and he was looking to rent something else, and instead he just plopped himself down. He found this empty apartment, he moved in, and he said, perfect, now I won't have to pay. So my, what's going to be the halacha now? Matze amarle, could the guy who rented it and was living, the guy who was living there, say, my chaserti, look, I didn't make you lose anything. You weren't going to rent it out anyway. O dilma, matze amar, or maybe the landlord could say, hayitanit, right? You benefited, so give me what you benefited from. So now, Amar Leh says back to him, this was your question you had in the Beit Midrash, Matznitin hi. Oh, it's an explicit Mishnah. Okay. Now we're going to have a big issue. What is this Mishnah then? Okay. Hey, Matznitin. Okay. What Mishnah you're talking about? Amar Leh, Lechi Tishamesh Li, Shakal Sudre. He says, when you start doing something to serve me, sorry, lechita shamishli, period. He says, when you do something to serve me, then I'll tell you what Mishnah. Okay, it's like a, right, he's saying.
What's a little symbol before the lechita? Is that another?
That is an interesting symbol. Right, usually it's the Torah or,
yeah,
but what it's not. It's the Gilayon HaShas. It sends you the Gilayon HaShas, and it says, look in Perek Gimel of Hilchot Avadim Halacha Chet. I wonder where it says there. It's telling you to go look there. Thanks for pointing that out. I don't know why it's telling you to go there, but if anyone wants to look it up, come back tomorrow. Okay, right, it's in the Rambam, they're saying. Look in the Rambam, look in the Mishnah Lechem. Okay, look in the Mishnah Lechem, which is a commentary on the Rambam, in Perek Gimel of Hilchot Avadim Halacha Chet. Okay, so he says, when you serve me, do something to serve me, I will tell you the answer. Shachal Sudre, so he took his sudar, I think it's his head covering, and, you know, they're like his turban, karachle, and he folded it up. So Amar Leh, so he says to him, okay, im nehenet mishalemet masha nehenet. If you benefit, you have to pay what you benefited. Okay, that's his answer. He says to him very simply. He says, you learn it from our Mishnah. In other words, it's our Mishnah. Okay, in other words, what's the Mishnah? It's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, im nehenet mishalemet masha nehenet. Right here, the animal ate the food and he got benefit. So whatever he got benefit, he had to pay. So now this guy who rented the apartment, since he benefited, he has to pay. So Amar Rava, Rava now hears this story that went on, and he says, Kama lo chali v'lo margish gavra demare ca. How interesting is it when you have a person who God helps him? Because what is he saying basically? Da'afa gav de'lo dami lematnitin kibla mine. And so this discussion was going on, right? Rav Chisda asked Rami Bar Chama, right? He asked him this question, and he says, Rami Bar Chama answers, it's a Mishnah. And then he tells him it's our Mishnah, and Rav Chisda doesn't say, what are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. But really, it doesn't make any sense. So we're saying that Rami Bar Chama must have some siyata d'shmaya, that, you know, he's such a gavra rabba that Rav Chisda eluded him to basically question his answer. But what's the issue here? Why is it not? Okay. So lo dami limatnitin, right? And kibla mine, and yet he accepted it. Why? Hai zenehene v'zeh chasir. V'hai zenehene v'zeh lo chasirhu. In other words, what's the case? Our Mishnah is the animal ate, and he caused a loss to the other guy. It is zechaser. The guy lost his 10 apples, let's say it's the case I brought, right? So now, it's he benefited, and the other guy lost. Whereas this case is, he benefited, because he didn't pay rent, but the other guy didn't lose anything, because he wasn't planning to rent it out. So, now we're going to say, Rami Bar Chama, what was Rami Bar Chama thinking then? So what was he thinking? Why is our Mishnah not Zenehene v'zelo chaser? But it's actually, I'm sorry, why is it Zenehene v'zelo chaser? Because it's Stam Perot Bereshit HaRabim Apkuri Mipka Lehu. We're going to assume that whoever left their Perot in Bereshit HaRabim that got eaten, he was mafkir them. Yes, he could say they were mine, but I was mafkir them. In other words, he didn't really expect that he was going to get them back, and therefore you could view it as Zelo chaser. He didn't really lose anything because he expected that something would happen to them if he leaves them in Rishud Arabi. Okay. Now we're going to bring a whole bunch of other, okay, he said, right, it's a Mishnah. And then we said, well, what Mishnah? So we said our Mishnah. But now we're going to see different possibilities of other Mishnayot, where maybe that was what he was referring to. That maybe there's a different Mishnah that we could learn this from. Tanan. Hamekip, okay, we're going to see, okay, that was the first answer, that it's our Mishnah. Then we're going to see, if you look at the chart, there's five different answers that are given, and each of them are going to get rejected. We're going to try to bring another form of shneiot that you're going to show.
Michelle, but, yeah. But then why does the owner have to pay if it's in Rishut HaRabim?
Right. If it's hefker, then why should he have to pay?
Yeah.
Right. So the point is so that's the question. Is it, according to Rami Bar Chama, it's because Zeneh Hanev is Zelo Chaser and you have to pay. That's how he views it.
Except that if it's hefker, there's no owner.
Right, so that becomes difficult. How do you say, once he was mafkir, so you'd have to say it's like an in-between. In other words, he kind of put it there figuring maybe they would get lost. He didn't really expect that he would, you know, ever get paid back or something happened to them. But in this case, since the animal actually benefited, so at least the part that he benefited, he's going to get back. Because remember, he doesn't get back the full value of the payroll. He only gets back whatever, right, okay? But yes, it's a difficult thing here. If he's really mafkir, and that's why Rabbi Abraham is pretty difficult here.
Sort of like when we do biur.
What?
Biur? Yeah. You have to do biur, you put it out, and you hope nobody will
take it. You don't really assume it's going to get taken, right? Hefker has this in-between thing where you're sort of mafkir, but you assume you might get it, you know, you can always take it back. Tanan. Hamakiv chavero mishalosh ruchot, v'gadarat harishona ve'et hashniya ve'et hashlishit, ein mechaybin oto. Okay, look at Rashi, he's got a little picture. Okay, if Shimon has a chatzer in the middle, and Reuven has a chatzer around it, but Reuven's chatzer, or field, only goes around three sides of Shimon's. Now, Reuven wants to put up a gadir to protect his field, and he protects his field from the outside, and he protects his field from the inside, okay? So now he puts up three walls in between his field and Shimon's field. Now, what happened here? If he puts up these three walls, what does the Mishnah say? He can't be mechayev Shimon on building this gadir because Shimon's not benefiting. Why? Because his field is not protected. It's open on one side because Reuben's field only went around on three sides. But harivit. But if he, the assumption of this mission is if he had a field that went around all four sides and he closed it on all four sides, then Shimon totally benefited from that because now Shimon's field is 100% sealed. And therefore, you would assume mechayvin oto. So what do you learn from here? Shma mina, zeneh hanev v'zelo chaser chayav. Right, what happened here? Shimon benefited by getting a chaser. Reuven didn't lose out at all because Reuven anyway was going to build this fence for his own sake. And therefore, what do you see? Zeneh hanev v'zelo chaser chayav. Okay, now why was this case different? Now we're going to reject it and say, Shanei hatam de amarle at garam li hakefa yatera. Reuven can say to Shimon, hey, if you didn't own that field in the middle, I could have just put a fence around my field from the outside. I had to put this fence on the inside to protect my field from your field, right? So therefore, you caused me to make this thing, and therefore it's not a case of zelo chaser, okay? So that we reject. Next case. Tashma. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Im amad nikef v'gadar et harivit. If Shimon, let's say Reuven did three sides, okay? And then Shimon comes and he puts up the fourth wall to seal up his property. Milgalgalim alav et hakol. He actually has to pay for the entire gadir.
Inside gadir.
Inside also. Inside. Tama, so now what are we going to derive from Rabbi Yossi? He disagrees with Tanakama here. Tama de gadir nikaf, right? So now what's implied here? The nikaf, right, that's Shimon, he's the one who's surrounded. He is only chayav in which case? If he sealed off the fourth, right? But ha makif, but if Reuven sealed off the fourth one, then he'd be patur. Right, that's the opposite of what we saw before. Now, according to this, what would you say? Shma mina, zeneh hanev zelo chaser patur. Now you can derive from Rabbi Yossi that he would hold, if Reuven did all four sides and Shimon's lo chaser, right? So, zeneh hanev zelo chaser and Shimon's patur according to that, because he's only chayav if he actually puts up the last wall. So what do you say? No. Shane hatam de amarle lididi sagile benetira barzuza. In other words, what can Shimon say? I don't want to pay for this chatzer because I would have been more than happy to put up a very cheap chatzer. You put up something expensive. Fence, gadir. You put up something expensive. I could have put up just some thorns and that would have been enough for me. Okay? You put up something more expensive. So if he already puts up a gadir, a fence, then we see that he was willing to put in the money for it and then we make him pay the whole thing. But if he didn't, then, you know, so therefore, again, it's not a case of zena nevezelo chaser. Tashma, next case. Habayah ba'aliyah shel shnayim shenaflu. Okay, remember, there's the bayit, and then there's the upstairs. Now, let's say it's like a two-family house, but it's two-family in the sense that the bottom floor is owned by one family, top floor is owned by another family, and the house gets destroyed. Now, they want to rebuild the house, but the bala, the komat tachtona doesn't want to build the house. Only the Baal Aliyah wants to rebuild the house. Now, what's the problem? He owns the space at the top. You can't build the top without building a bottom. So, Amar Baal Aliyah Baal Abayit, leave note, Vuhayno Rotse, right? The Baal Aliyah says, build your house, I can build mine. And he doesn't want to. Hare Baal Aliyah Bone Bayit V'yoshev Ba. So he can build the bottom floor and he's allowed to live there. Ad Sheitein Lo Yitziotav. Until what point, right? When the Baal Abayit says, okay, fine, here's the money to cover the cost for what you built. Now you can go build your upstairs. Now I'm going to go move back in. So what do you see here? Yisiotavu demachayev le'baal abayit. Haschara lo. Right? What happens now? He only has to pay him, right? What the baal habayit has to pay him for his work that he did, his expenses. But what do you see? He doesn't take off rent from that. He doesn't charge him rent. So if he doesn't charge him rent, what do you see here? Shmamina zeneh nevezelo chaser. Now, Zelo chaser because he wasn't planning, the Baal Abayit is not chaser because he wasn't planning to rebuild the house. So he didn't want the space, so he was not chaser anything, and yet that guy's living in his space.
That's kind of an issue with Zena and that, because he's not benefiting from him. It's really his space.
But no, it's not his space. Well, in the end, that's what we're going to answer. Okay, but right now we're assuming your space is above, not down below. Yep, so that's what we're going to say. So they're going to say, Shanei Hatam, debate ala aliyah mishtabin. It's mishuabad, right? It's integrally stuck, right? It's, right, mishuabad here is different than we've used it, but it's basically without the downstairs, he doesn't, you know, his space is connected to that. So it's really considered the same space, and that's the answer. Okay, Tashma, last one for today. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, av zeh hadar b'chatzar chavirah shalom midato, sarich la'alot lo sachar. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda says, but, right, in this, av zeh, right, he's responding to the previous case, about the Baal Aliyah, he says, even in this case, Hadar b'chatzar chaviro shalom midato, tzarich la'alot lo sachar. If he does it shalom midato, he has to give him sachar. Shma mina, zenene, v'zeh lo chaser chayav. So again, what are we going to say? Zenene, v'zeh lo chaser in your chayav. So now, what do we say here? So in other words, what happened? He built the downstairs, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if he did it without the guy's knowledge, he has to pay him the rent. Okay, so the guy will now give him back his yitziot minus the rent. So it sounds like you're chayav according to Rabbi Yehuda. So what do we answer? No, shanei hatam mishum shachrurita de'ishyata. What does that mean? When you build a new house, you have nice white walls. Now what happens when you light your candles? Your candles cause the walls to be blackened. So in that case, now if you have an old house, so they're already blackened. It doesn't look very bad, but right? It's like that person, you know, this happens in this country. You have a brand new car, and then someone comes and takes a key and scratches the side of the car. You know, now if that happens later on, nobody really looks at that as damage. But when someone does it to a brand new car, it's very noticeable. So that's what we're saying now. So what does he have to pay him? Now here it's very interesting. The Mefarshim say he doesn't have to pay just for the value of the blackened walls. Once there's some sort of wear and tear on the house, then he already has to pay full rent. Okay? And that's the reason, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he has to pay is because of the blackening of the walls, but not because, right, if it were, let's say, an old house and he were living there, you know, then he wouldn't have to. So you can't learn from here to another case. Okay, so we attempted all these cases, these five cases. In the end, we don't have any conclusive evidence about zeneh nevezelo chaser. Tomorrow we're going to start to see piskei halacha about people who said it, and immediately they're going to question some of them, and maybe you misunderstood, and that really wasn't really what he meant. But clearly this was like a sugya that was bothering them. You know, how do we deal with this? I actually learned this in university many years ago. I don't remember all the details, but I remember one thing that they were, the whole thing is, you notice this, they took all these Tana'itic sources. Now, none of the Tana'itic sources use the terminology zeneh nevezelo chaser. And the teacher was trying to prove, what I remember from the class was that he was trying to show that this whole terminology of zeneh nevezelo chaser was a whole unique terminology of the Amoraim, and they were trying to read it into the Tana'itic sources, but the Tana'im never thought of it in that way. They weren't thinking in those terms, and therefore their sources don't really match up, because that wasn't what was Masiko's time. You know, what the Amoraim were struggling with isn't what the Tana'im were struggling with. So, yeah.